So we pray.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we want to exhort and honor you, Lord, for making a way for us to come to your house the first Sunday of the month of July. Thank you for the past Sundays in the first half of the year. Your blessings upon us, the inspiration, the anointing, the utterances that you gave to your servants, the blessings, the deliverances, the healings, the salvation, the lifting of the saints to higher ground, the miracles, the signs, the wonders, the manifestation of your power, Lord, in our midst for these past 6 months. Lord, we are grateful to you. Lord, we thank you. We thank you so much because we know you are going to do more and better than we have experienced in the first half of the year. We expect more of your grace, more of your blessings, the revelation of yourself to us, the stretching forth of your hands to save, to deliver, Lord, to rescue, to destroy the works of the devil continually, Lord, to set the captives free. Lord, we are grateful to you. You made these promises. You were not forced to make them. We have not yet been here when you made those promises, and you have been very, very faithful. Lord, we are in expectation of your greatness to be made manifest, to be made known in our lives as individuals, as families, and an assembly. This is what we expect to do, to see you doing in our midst, while we commit ourselves to you that you put us in this shape. Lord, where will be partakers of these blessings? Have mercy upon us, forgive our shortcomings, our unbeliefs, everything that we have done in a way to displace you. We ask that your blood that will never lose its power till the ransom church of God be saved to sin no more will avail for us and be kind to us, Lord. We commit ourselves to you this day that you will send your word once again. It's already anointed, it's already inspired, it's already blessed. Inspire us, Lord, that we might follow your anointing and your inspiration to be partakers of the blessings, to be healed of our sicknesses, to be delivered from the hands of our enemies, Lord, to be taken to higher ground, to be filled with your spirit. A single service, those things can be accomplished because you have done it, and that's what you always do. Father, Lord, we look unto you. Lord, for you are our help. Take all the glory. At the end of the services of today, let us have every cause to glorify you. Thank you, Eternal Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Praise be to God. Let's open our Bible to Revelation chapter 1. We're not going to read the entire chapter 1. I just want us to take bit by bit as we have this laid down before us. So we're going to read from Revelation chapter 16. We want to begin to look at the seven stars in the right hand. All right, 16 to the end. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery, the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, The seven stars are the angel of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sowest are the seven churches. The Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. God bless you. You can be seated. Praise be to God. The prophet, the prophet told us that this part, the topic is the background to the revelation of the seven seals. And so, I want to combine the two so that we'll be able to place the revelation of the seven seals properly. Because the part that belongs out of the revelation of the seven seals, the part that are to take place in the seven church ages, that is what we are trying to look at. Things, the seven church ages, we want to look at the messenger, the seven stars, which are represented by the seven stars in the right hand of him who stood in the midst of the seven candlesticks. Alright. In his seven church age book, in his right hand were seven stars. In his right hands were seven stars. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Now, of course, we already know from verse 20 where we are read. He gave us the interpretation of the seven stars on his own, so that the prophet says, so that we can't, there's no mistake about that. Of course, that does not mean that all other things that are said are mistakes, but the prophet is just trying to make us to know that the Lord himself interpreted this, so we could see. And the mystery of the seven stars are the angels, that is messengers. You have not got it. Just search for, and he had in his right hand. And he had, I want you to display so that people can follow. Well, it's because we are used to looking at it on the board. That is, have you gotten it? Okay. You've not got it. Okay. Pick these words carefully. Now, of course, we already know. Now, of course. We, of course, they're not written together. Of, then course. Because if you combine them, you won't get it. All right. Now, of course, we already know from verse 20 what the seven stars actually are. As we read it just now. That he has seven stars in his hand, and while he was standing in the midst of the golden candlesticks. And the mystery of the seven stars are the angels, that is the messengers of the seven churches. Now we couldn't make a mistake here on any account, as he interprets it for us. These seven stars are the messengers to the seven successful church ages. They are not called by name. They are just set forth as seven, one to each age. From the Ephesian age on down to this Laodicean age. Each messenger brought the message of truth to the people, never failing to keep it the word of God to that particular church age. Each one held to it. They were steadfast in their loyalty to the original light. As each age pulled away from God, his faithful messengers turned that age back to the world. When any age, these ages, when they pull away from God, the messenger God sent to that church age pulled the people back to the world. That's why God sent them. His faithful messenger turned that age back to the world. Their strength was from the Lord, or they never could have stemmed the tide.
Could you imagine William Rembrandt facing this age, facing the theologians, facing the Christendom? When we say Christendom, we all know what we are talking about. We are talking about both the nominal and the spiritual ones, the born again and the non-born again, the Christendom. Every denomination and the true church, the Christendom. He faced this, the critics in this age, yet uneducated. He was never went to high school, and yet with his crooked English, he silenced every one of them. Not with his power, not with his education, but because he was set forth as one of the stars in the right hand of Jesus Christ. And he was sent to this age to pull God's people back to the original world. And that's why it was with every messenger in every age that has gone by. The messenger to that age withstood the false doctrine of that age gallantly. Their strength were from the Lord, or they never could have stemmed the tide. They were saved in his care, for nothing could pluck them out of his hand, and neither could anything separate them from the love of God. Let it be sickness, peril, nakedness, famine, sore life, or death. They were truly yielded to him and kept by his omnipotence, the power that can do all things. He kept these seven stars in his right hand. Now, these seven stars, the prophet told us that for us to know who they are, God had to guide him, because they were not called by names. And besides this very age that we are, they have lived in the past ages. They have lived their lives in the way they have lived it, and there are history that have written about them. Histories have written a lot about them. But to be able to identify who in the first church age, of course, that could be possible looking at Paul, by what the word of God says about him, and what he also, his identification of himself, his position. You know, what we read in the scripture, we know that he was actually the first messenger to the church age, to the first church age. But that became more real to us because William Branham, the messenger of the last church age, has identified him. It's not because denomination, no denomination person identified Paul, because they don't know about the seven church ages. And the messenger to these church ages, they don't know them. They don't even know their relevance. As we read in this Revelation chapter 1, talking about the seven golden candlesticks, if you hear what the denomination will say about the seven golden candlesticks, you'll be surprised. What they will say about the seven stars is a mystery. And these are the seven stars, they are the angels to the church ages, to the churches. Where are the churches? If you hear them interpret the churches, in fact, that is why they do not believe that there are messengers, special messengers from God to any age. Because their teachings don't reflect it. They don't have the understanding. They cannot know it. It is only the messenger to that age that has the power to identify that this is my role in this age. Especially William Aaron Branham. Because Branham was the one that actually came to identify the rest of the messengers. And the role they have played in those ages. Even most of those messengers may not know by what the prophet has told us. And in Revelation, in the fifth seal, a whole lot of things that were revealed to the prophet about the past messengers. Like we were mentioning last Sunday about how, you know, the prophet distributed the seven messengers across the, distributed the four living creatures across the seven church ages. How he distributed them. He was the one by revelation given to him in the course of the revelation of the sixth, of the fifth seal, that he brought that revelation came to him, and he explained this to us. And that's how we could know that there are three messengers that cover the first church age. one messenger for the fourth church age, then two messengers for fifth and sixth church ages, and then only one messenger, which is the anointing of ego for this Laodicean church, for the purpose of the role that he is going to play. Hallelujah. So he's the one that can identify them. And the identification of the messenger is so important. Because the prophet in the sermon recognizing your day and his message. The prophet said, if you don't recognize the messenger, you will not recognize the message. And if you don't recognize the message, you will not recognize your day. Because by the scripture, the prophet said, God allotted his word to each age. So whatever age you live in, and you don't identify the messenger, because you can only identify your age and the message sent to your age by identifying the messenger. Because it's the messenger that will tell you this is the age you are living, and this is the message to your age. So when you don't have that understanding, it's just like somebody. Okay, let me just demonstrate it here. In the week, we have Sunday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday. Okay, let me do this. Alright? Now, we know that these are different days of the week. If somebody has an interview, or you have an exam, or you have an appointment on Tuesday, and you have an appointment on Friday, and you wake up of the morning, you don't know which day it is. You don't know whether it's Monday, whether it's Sunday, whether it's Tuesday, whether it's Wednesday. Will you keep this appointment? Because you don't know which day is Tuesday. Are you getting it now? You will miss your exam. You will miss your interview. You will miss any appointment that you have for that Tuesday, because you don't know which is Sunday, which is Tuesday, which is Tuesday, which is Sunday, which is Monday, which is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You don't know which. Every day is the same to you. That is how all the ages are like to the denominations. They don't know which is Tuesday. They don't know which is Monday. They don't know which is Sunday. They don't know. So appointment, the word of God that God allotted to each age, they don't know it. The messenger that God sent to that age, they don't know that. So how would they be expecting anything from God? So it's like that's just the way it is. If you don't identify the day of the week, you will not know you won't be able to keep the appointment. Promises are here in the scripture. The time God will fulfill them were specified in the scripture. But you could not identify it on your own. It takes the messenger of your hips to identify it. So when the messenger comes and he identifies it, then he gives you an opening of the eye to identify which day is this. Is it through the messenger you are able to know that it's the first church age, the second church age, the third church, and the messengers God sent to them, and the messages sent to them. It's through Willem Miron Bram alone. In all over the earth. William Miron Branham. In all over the earth. Talk about Adeboye. Talk about Kumu. You talk about Glory Tabernacle. Talk about CAC. Talk about Methodist. Talk about Anglican. Talk about Presbyterian. Talk about Catholic. Talk about all other churches. They don't know which day they are living. They don't. Of course, they go to church. They go and preach. They go and do this. They go and do that. They don't know which day they are. Which day? They're talking about rapture, they're talking about rapture. They don't know that rapture is going to take place very soon. That's why the teaching Brother Sam is taking the revelation of the man of sin. That's why we are rejoicing that there is a new pope from United States. Because it's already prophesied. It's written in this Bible and corroborated by the prophecy of William Miron Branham. Are you with me? Those things were written in this Bible as prophecies. Then, Abraham, by the spirit of the prophet, also prophesied to corroborate what is written. What he has prophesied about the Pope coming from the United States is written in the scripture. He's the only one that could identify. And that's why he's able to identify the Pope and the role he will play and every other thing. He was able to tell us the United States, the role the United States is going to play.
May God be our help.
So it's very, very important for us to know who the messenger is and what role has he come to play. We have come to church this morning. We didn't come like any other churches. You wouldn't expect Peter to come here and give you his own opinion, his idea, his understanding, like many churches will come and open the Bible and talk about their view about it, about what they think about that scripture. You know, they will just carry the Bible and be talking it. They will draw some lessons, which maybe lessons that they have experienced or testimony that somebody has told them, the experience of somebody here, they will use it to carry the congregation along. They will preach, talk about certain things. Sometimes they draw from what the truth that they have had from others who know about this message.
But they will not identify with Emir Abraham.
And so, that is why it is important for us to identify the messenger. It does not matter what people say about that. Remember, the elect will never be deceived.
Whatever anybody will say.
And it is only his teaching that God will use to judge this generation.
The Godhead, the water baptism, women must not preach, women must not cut their hair, they must not wear trousers. Women must not wear trousers.
Clothes that pertain to man. Anyone who wears such is an abomination to God. Hell
is the pillar of that person. The person dies in that condition. So, all the teachings, no deaconess. They make women deaconesses. And they make men who are deacons over there. Men, they make men who have two wives deacons in the church.
You see, that is why the message of Malachi 4 is very, very different. It has to be the messenger. Remember, as we read in Revelation chapter 1 there, he said,
let's come to Revelation chapter 1. Verse 11. Okay, let me read from verse 10. Verse 9. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9.
I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the last day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying.
That was Jesus Christ giving instruction to John.
Now, say, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in the book.
And we are jumping things up because that verse 11 is loaded.
What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea.
Now, by the time he said that, then in chapter 2, he now begins to pass the message that Jesus Christ gave to him for the first angel. He wrote it. He said, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write. Then he sent the message to them.
The messages that Brother Paul preached during that first time were covered in that.
Are you with me?
We're covered in the first message there. And when you come to second church age, you will see what it says also. And to the church, verse 8, and to the angel of the church in Smyrna, right?
That's the message that man in Smyrna was to preach to the generation of the Smyrnian.
And in our age too, in chapter 3, verse 14, we have it. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, which is our time. Look at the message for us. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, write, this thing said the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works that thou art this. Now you will see everything down to verse 22.
If you study those things very deeply, you will see that from Genesis to Revelation, the message of William Branham covered the entire thing. And it cut across the messages of these passages as well. For us to truly be restored to the original, to the what the first church age had, because that is what the messenger of the Latin church is supposed to do. Restore the faith of the children back to the faith of the apostolic fathers. Praise be to God. So, right. So, what we want to do is to identify these messengers. Their names were not written in the Bible, but the prophet went to tell us within the few minutes now. Let us follow. Now, you search for these words. This, in order for you, in order, O-R-D, yeah, in order, for you to fully understand. I want to identify the seven stars. Alright. In order for you to fully understand the message of the church age, the message of the church age, to understand the message of the church ages, I would like to explain the various principles. You see, for us to understand the various, to understand the message of the church ages, to be able to know the impact, the importance of it, of these messages, we have to identify the messengers. And the prophet is now saying, now for us to be able to understand these messages, then we now have to, the prophet said that he was able to identify the messengers because God helped him and gave him two principles. Now, that's what we want to follow. In order for you to fully understand the message of the church ages, I would like to explain the various principles that allow me to arrive at the names, you see, of the messengers, which are not written in the Bible. The various principles that allow me to arrive at the names of the messengers, the length of the ages, and other factors involved therein. Hallelujah. It takes a major prophet to do that. It's not a man or prophet. He doesn't have the ability to do it. And that's just the difference between a major prophet and a man or prophet. The man or prophet can see visions. He can interpret dreams. He has just said the Lord. But he doesn't have the ability to interpret scripture. He cannot go into the scripture and begin to tell us this is what the scripture means. Once he goes to that level, he has left his office. We will not follow him. Anyone who follows him will head up in the ditch. Because it's not the messenger to the Laodicean church age. He is to take from what the messenger has already said. Since this study was to be the most serious one I had and had ever undertaken up to this time, I sought God for many days for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Then only did I read the scriptures on the church ages and delve into the many church histories. Written, the prophet said, he delved into the many church histories written by the most unbiased historians. We are grateful to God for the unbiased historians. The unbiased historians are people that they were not Christians and they didn't take side in writing their story. They wrote exactly what happened. They were not favoring this party against this party. If there was war, and you know, people were going to look at the case between Iran and Israel, look at people taking side. Don't listen to social media. A lot of lies are hooked up there. It makes me to be weary of social media. Portraying what is not true. Israel cannot be defeated. It's written in the scripture. You know, the people that are against Israel are the ones coming up with all those foolish things that you see in social media. It that curses Israel is cursed. Look at this Fanikai of day of 18. The man he has hooked himself. He has cursed himself. He's rising against Israel. I just pity him. When I read his post, I said, Oti pare edano. You're rising against God's blessed people? You know? Alright. So, the Brahman read the unbiased historians. People who wrote as they saw it. God actually moved on them. Because a time will come that the information will be needed by the prophet to give us true account of event that happened in the ages. Even when Abraham was not yet born. So you could imagine. Now how could Moses have written about Genesis chapter 1? How could he have written about events in Genesis, event that happened before his own very birth? He'd be writing about his own birth. Moses wrote about his own birth, isn't it? How did he come about it? Was his mother that told him? Okay, you could say his mother told him. What about the event about the creation? How did he come about it? Can somebody tell us how he came about it? Was it that he read an history? No! But God permitted unbiased historian to write because event haven't happened in Moses' time. I mean, what I mean is that from Genesis time, events that happened were not recorded. Hallelujah. Now listen to something that the prophet told us about Abel. Abraham said, Abel and Cain, because I'm coming to that of Moses. Abraham said, Abel and Cain were received commandment from God to worship. And when it was time for them to worship, Abel by revelation, how did the revelation come? The prophet said, faith comes by hearing the word of God. That Adam told them what happened. That it was the animal that caused the problem. The blood. And God told him that that is the way to worship. By blood. Cain was there. He didn't catch a revelation of that. But Abel caught it. So when it was time to worship, that was why Abel looking for animal. He grabbed the animal, brought an animal to the platform. When he brought it there, looked for a sharp stone and began to chop the neck. And Cain had decorated his own altar with flowers and big fruits. Fruits of the field. Brought every other thing there. Yam, big yam, purple. Cassava, maize. Brought everything there, whatever. They were not rotting fruits, as they told us when we were in primary school. It's a lie. They were using style to collect foodstuff from our parents. They called it bazaar. And our parents will still use money to buy it from them. The thing that our parents gave them for free, they will still sell it for high price. Oh, denomination. And now, When Cain was going to worship, he brought those things. And when Abel offered his sacrifice, God accepted it. And Abraham said that he tells you that the beginning of righteousness is God's revealed truth. Because God said Abel was more righteous than Cain. Because he offered by faith. And faith is a revelation. So Abel caught revelation of the will of God, how to worship. God revealed it to him. Now, when God revealed that to him, then the prophet was telling us that Abel, no book was written. There was nothing written for Abel to read. How did he know how to worship? The prophet, it can only be by revelation. So Moses too, no book was written down for him to read. It has to be by revelation. Are you with me? It has to be by revelation. God has to reveal to him the account of how creation came, because God did not write it down in a book and gave it to Moses. Only when it was time for God calling and began to reveal to him. Only gave him 10 commandments to give to the children of Israel. But the rest, God revealed to him, and Moses put them down here. Praise be to God. Because he couldn't fall back to anything. But history's ages have gone. The Old Testament's ages have gone. Then the New Testament is also about to end. Then here comes Laodicean, which is the seventh of all the seven ages. So history is written. We are correct information about the past ages could be assessed. So Abraham now said that he was able by the help of the Holy Spirit to go through this. Sorry, let me just finish this. So Then only did I read the scriptures on the church ages and delve into the many church histories written by the most unbiased historian that I could find. God did not fail to answer my prayer. For while I read the word and the histories, I was enabled by the Holy Spirit to see unfolded a pattern. He was able to see unfolded a pattern that runs through the centuries and right into this present time. Hallelujah. If you understand what Abraham is talking about here, you'll be so enthused that while he was reading, God enabled him to see a pattern how God operated, what God did in the centuries gone by, and that what guided him in the way that was able to identify the messengers, their names, and every other thing about them. May the Lord be our help. So, by the grace of God, another time, we continue with this. Shall we bow down our heads? God bless you, sir.
Blessed Lord, we thank you again this morning for bringing us together. It's for the end of the week, Lord, to sit at your feet and to learn more of you. We are grateful, O God, for the age that we are living in and the messenger that you have sent unto us. Lord, we have had stories where happy people claiming things, but there has never been anyone that had vindications like William and Abraham. And he told us that you are God and you will not vindicate a lie. We are very grateful, Father. What time you spoke to the people, we came in the flesh. And your disciples asked you, why do you speak to them in parables? You say, because unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Say, but unto them that is not given, hearing will they hear, and they will never understand. We thank you for the message of our day. We thank you for the books. We thank you for the tapes. As we go through it, O God, as we hear it preached, may your spirit that gave it to your prophet to be given to us. That is why your prophet told us that it is in this message that lays rapturing faith. May you give us revelation, Lord. May you give us understanding. May you give us ability to live by the same. Because it is not the hearers only that are justified, but the hearers are the doers of the word. Thank you, Father. Bless your servant, replenish him for the virtue that has led him, while we leave the rest of the services of the day in your hands. Take all the glory for granting these petitions. In Jesus' most holy name, we pray. Amen.